Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The political rhetoric is getting hotter in Illinois in the face of the ongoing budget stalemate. Amanda Vinicky will explain in just a bit. And St. Louis aldermen are unhappy with the city's police chief. Rachel Lippman will tell us about that. But first, the final decision to keep the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency is finally final. It will stay in St. Louis. Our Maria Altman has been on the story since day one, and she joins us now. Good to see you, Maria.
It's good to see you, Don.
Are you breathing a sigh of relief now that the waiting game is over?
It has been a long wait, but it wasn't a surprise that they, in the end, chose St. Louis. Of course, the NGA director in April had said that was his preferred location, and he stuck with that.
But there was a very concerted effort on the part of Illinois officials to make that preliminary decision not happen.
Absolutely. And both Senators Dick Durbin and Mark Kirk said that they are going to ask for an investigation from the Government Accountability Office. And Congressman Mike Bost has also asked for an investigation within the Army Corps of Engineers on that environmental impact report that was done looking at all the different sites.
Well, they're doing what they have to do, needless to say. That's right. To be expected. But I wonder if an investigation will have any traction at this stage.
It's hard to say. I think it feels like a done deal. Yeah. It seemed like a very firm decision, and I would find it very surprising if anything would change.
One of the things we're hearing from the senators is, I think it's Durbin who is concerned about cost overruns and security.
Right.
Is there any basis for concerns like these?
You know, they talk about a blast zone and whether the site in St. Louis has a big enough area around it that it could sustain, say, a car bomb, and that there wouldn't be casualties or problems, you know, from the residents in the area. Whereas, of course, near Scott Air Force Base, the site was in a farm field, and so they wouldn't have had that problem. Director Cardillo, the NGA, has said we are doing this within the specs that are just fine. So
you have to assume that they've done their due diligence with regard.
One
to
would
this.
Hope.
Yeah. And what's the area like down south where the facility is now?
Well, it's just a very old facility. Yeah. I mean, it's on Arsenal Street, and the reason it's Arsenal Street is because it was an arsenal back from the 1820s.
Civil War.
Before the Civil War.
Sure.
So, you know, those buildings, not that I really was able to get into very many. I was able to tour the campus, but, you know, this is the NGA, and it's a very secretive organization. They say it just isn't up to snuff anymore. They can't do the technical work that they need to do within the infrastructure limits that they have.
And you have to look at that South City site, too. There's not a whole lot that separates it from sort of what's around there. I mean, kind of
Anheuser-Busch Brewery.
AB is there. You've got, I'm sure, I mean, I know there's security down there. The park, the river isn't too far from there. But if they feel that they can keep the South City site safe, I'd have to imagine that the North City site is going to be, you know, they know how to keep an urban site safe.
Yeah, you would think so. Remind us once again, Maria, of what this means to the city.
It's a huge, huge project. The cost right now is estimated to be about $1.7 billion. So it's a huge facility, a lot of construction jobs. But also the city sees this as keeping more than 3,000 employees in the city. They pay earnings taxes around $2 million a year. And then the mayor, I spoke with him yesterday, says that this is really going to have a huge impact on North St. Louis and on the area.
This is the anchor tenant that Paul McKee keeps saying that he needed to rebuild the north side. So we'll have to see if it actually truly becomes, you know, development that springs up, or if it just sort of remains a campus unto itself.
That reminds us of the concern that many residents have had in that north side redevelopment area because of the McKee project. What about this project, Maria? I know that you're given some thought to that.
Well, in terms of, I mean, I think it certainly helps Paul McKee because he's got this, you know, massive federal project coming in. We're already hearing about some projects of his starting. There's a grocery store, a gas station that he announced a few months ago. But, you know, he's made announcements before and nothing has happened. So it is a bit of will development actually happen around the site. Now, the federal government is pretty vested in this. Mayor Slay told me yesterday that Robert Cardillo, the director of NGA, wants to see development around the NGA site and wants it, the NGA to be connected with the surrounding community.
And that was part of the whole decision process, that it would enhance the community.
Which is right. kind of weird when you think about it, given that it's sort of a secretive spy agency that wants to connect with the community. But, I mean, I guess the argument is they're going to need places to go to lunch. They're going to need places to go to maybe pick up things as they're on their way home to, because I mean I know these guys are commuting in, some of them from 50, 60, 70 miles out. These aren't, you know, not all of them are living here in St. Louis.
No, less than 20% actually live in the city. Mm-hmm. So, yes, most of them are commuting.
Definitely a ripple effect, though. There's no question about it when you have a facility of that size. What about the timetable? I've seen some conflicting times.
So have I, Don. Right. It's been hard to nail that down. Yeah. What I think right now is that the city has until the end of 2017 to hand over this land. And when I say hand it over, that means nobody's living there. There are no buildings on it. Mm-hmm. It is ready for construction, and that construction would then begin in 2018.
Is there any possibility, do you think, that if in fact there is an investigation, that this whole thing will have to be pushed back?
I'm going to have to look into that more. Yeah. I don't have an example at hand that would say, here was a federal facility that was put on hold because of an investigation. In some ways, I feel as if the Obama administration was very much in support of this location, and I just don't know how much to expect from an investigation into it.
Well, you kind of wonder, though, if court fights over the land, court fights over eminent domain, if the more serious threat is attempting to get that land cleared. And
no,
the time
I don't.
That might take
I, at this
do
point,
that.
No. They have the authority over all the land. The eminent domain case at this point is just over dollar figures. There's no question that the city has the land now. It's just a matter of how much they're going to pay for it.
So the next step is?
The next step is hearing what the city has to say, both in terms of construction bids, finding out, you know, what are the details, how will people, look for jobs and get those construction jobs for this facility, and also following the stories of the people who live in the area and what it's going to mean for them to move. There are a few people who are appealing the eminent domain suit in terms of the amount of money the commissioner suggests that the city should pay them. So I'll be following that. And there are some pretty heartbreaking stories of people who live within that site.
There always are in situations like this.
I think looking forward, too, it's what do you do with that South City site? Now, that's years
Absolutely.
Down the line if this facility isn't opening until 18 or 19. But
it won't be opening until like 2022 at the earliest. So
someone will propose that it become a homeless housing shelter. It always seems to happen. Here's something you haven't looked into. We don't have much time, but Mary Lynn tweets, I look forward to the archaeology that comes out of the north site. They're building what was Curry Patch, an Irish place. So who knows? Maybe there'll be some shamrocks or something that'll come out of it.
We'll see.
Maria, thank you. Let's turn to Rachel Lippman now. Police Chief Sam Dotson has been a lot in the news this week. He had a bit of a rant. He called it that himself with regard to judges and guns here in St. Louis. And there's some feedback on that and some fallout that is not very flattering to him.
None of this is actually really new. Chief Dotson ranting, as he put it, about gun bails and you know, the way that judges treat gun crime in the city of St. Louis. It's something I kind of put in my head when he's speaking as like a mental bingo board. I can check off some of the comments that he's going to make in his speech. Most of what you hear usually when there is it cycles through when you see a major crime happen in a tourist area, such as the carjacking and murder of Brandy Hill, or the shooting last year of the Cardinals fan outside of the old cathedral. When something happens in sort of that central corridor area, you see this kind of response. You see them saying, we're going to boost patrols, and you see another side pushing back saying, why aren't we seeing the same patrol in the truly violent areas of the city? It may be political jockeying. There's always been this longstanding rumor that the chief is interested in running for mayor, so he has to appeal to the constituency that would vote for him. But again, it's nothing I haven't heard before. You hear this frustration and every time an incident like Brandy Hill or this the Cardinals fan who was shot and paralyzed happens, and it's the same debate.
Well, someone else who is sometimes mentioned as a possibility for running for mayor is Antonio French,
sure,
the alderman. And he has called for the chief to resign.
Again, Antonio and the chief have been kind of foils for a while. You know, he's been a very persistent critic of Chief Dotson. None of what he's saying is new. He's called for the resignation before. As long as the mayor has the chief has the support of Mayor Slay, I don't see him going anywhere. He'd be the person who would make the decision to move aside a police commissioner. And there's not that push within the mayor's office right now that I can sense.
The chief is, as to be expected, asking for more officers. Is he going to get them?
They have to find the money for it. That's the biggest thing. They have the money right now to be at about 1,300 sworn officers. They are currently below that level by, I think it is 117 positions they are down. They want to add, after they would get back to the 1,300, an additional 160 to 200. So you're looking at, you know, whatever the math is on that, about 1,400 officers. He says it would give them additional flexibility. They could hire more homicide detectives, which they say they need. They could put more of the patrol officers, the blue shirt guys, out on the streets, send them into the areas where they need additional patrol. But he said right now they've had to institute a mandatory overtime to keep all cars staffed 24/7, 365 throughout the city.
Maria, maybe you can get some of that tax money from the NGA project shuttled over to the police
department. Well, here's the thing, though. The earnings tax, sure, but that amount of money that they're going to get from the NGA facility actually goes down. Half of the earnings tax now goes to pay for what it costs to buy out people and to clear the land. So we're actually going to lose a little bit in terms of the taxes. And the federal government doesn't pay property taxes.
And I would
either
think that even so, it would be a wash because you've got a facility that has that many employees now. So it wouldn't change
very
much.
Right. It wouldn't change much. No.
They are looking to bring some. There's a potential for the expansion for jobs, right?
Or I have never heard that from the NGA, ever.
Okay.
I have asked that question. I mean, you hear that a lot from officials on, you know, this side of the river, that they could expand. But the NGA has not said, oh, yes, we're planning to expand. So we'll see.
Again, NGA is a spy agency.
Right.
One other thing I'd like to bring up with you, Rachel, concerns the fact that no charges were filed in the case of this Mansour Bey. We've heard this song before.
Yes, we have.
What do we know about why charges were not filed?
What the prosecutor, Jennifer Joyce, repeated several times yesterday was that there was no credible evidence to dispute the officer's claims of self-defense. When a self-defense is raised, a self-defense claim is raised, it becomes the burden of the prosecutor to say, no, this was done in cold blood or for reasons other than self-defense. And what she is saying is, we have no credible evidence that disproves the story that the officers told. She made it very clear yesterday she didn't think the shooting was justified and that she had some questions about the tactics used in the raid. For example, they went to the wrong address and weren't stationed at the flat, the apartment where the drug raid, where the search warrant was being executed. But she said nothing there she could prove beyond a reasonable doubt that it was a criminal act.
Any outcry from the community yet to that decision?
The usual. You saw postings on Facebook commenting about how, you know, the police, she's going to protect police officers because she needs them to help bring other cases. The family of the victim, Mansour Balbay, claimed that officers planted the gun that they found that had the victim's palm print on it. And people just saying, you know, cases have probably been brought against other individuals with less evidence.
All right. We're going to have to end it there. I want to thank you both, Maria Altman and Rachel Lippman, for being with us and taking us behind the headlines. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. The Illinois legislative session ended this week, as we know. No budget agreement for the second year in a row. What now? Illinois Public Radio Statehouse Bureau Chief Amanda Venicky joins us. Amanda, thanks for being with us.
But of course.
What now?
What now is that already, despite the regular legislative session having ended at the end of May, legislators will be back in Springfield. There's a lot of talk about a temporary budget that would carry through, at least in a bare-bones fashion, government through the end of the calendar year, giving legislators time to come back after the pressure of an election is gone, when you have perhaps lame duck legislators who will be willing to take risky votes. That's at least the thought. Further, it would take pressure off of Governor Bruce Rauner himself, who, if there is no budget for that entire period, could really, really be hard up. They've done a good job of kind of taping government together and, you know, using shoestrings to make things work. But you're hearing indications that at some point, really, you could see a true shutdown. What if, for example, a prison food vendor says, I'm sick of not being paid, I'm going to stop delivering food, and there's an uprising at a prison, or similar situation at a veteran's home, or if schools don't open in the fall because there is no education budget, either a temporary budget or, who knows, maybe just more of the stalemate. There's some thoughts that that is part of the plan for, by Democrats, if it's gone this far, really continue to carry it that way so that Rauner has to capitulate some on this agenda. They say shouldn't be part of budget talks in the first place, in which they say it will hurt the state's economy, even if he says it's meant to improve it.
Well, he seems to be taking the offensive. He's appealing on the one hand, as I read it, appealing to Democrats to cut and run. And he's touring the state, apparently a good part of it anyway, to get some support for the stopgap budget idea.
You know what? You're exactly right. He is doing both of those things, and I find it interesting, I guess, to say that on the one hand, he is trying to cast himself as the common sense governor who's willing to compromise, and it's just those big bad Democrats who aren't willing to do that. And at the very same time, that he's asking them to compromise, and he's saying they need to be reasonable. He is making some really harsh rhetoric on this road trip about Democrats and their leaders. And that could, of course, further hurt a deal, not just because words hurt, but because part of what he is saying, he is casting it as Democrats following their leaders and wanting to, quote, bail out Chicago, when, of course, you do have a lot of representatives that are from the Chicago area and very much believe that their beleaguered school district needs more money from the state, because it is the only district that the state doesn't pay pension costs for its teachers. And that means that it's getting a lot less money, at least for that, than do other districts. So that could be something that holds up a deal.
When you say things, and I'm quoting here, Democrats have spent the state down the toilet, that is not the kind of rhetoric that leads necessarily to compromise.
Exactly. When you get all the leaders in a room together, that's not the sort of talk that makes you willing to shake hands and make deals. I mean, this is politics, so I think there's a degree of get over it and don't be sore. And that said, it is definitely something that, combined with all of the money that is expected to be spent on the election, particularly that from the governor himself, and ads that have already begun airing against Democrats by the Republicans, that leads further to a toxic atmosphere.
In 20 seconds, Amanda, what are chances for a stopgap budget, do you think?
Ooh, I'm going to go 50-50. It looks bad for everybody if there isn't one. What I predict, at least in some fashion, even if it's not a stopgap, Democrats will send something to Governor Bruce Rauner's desk, although some Senate v. House fighting by that party has stop it for now. They'll at least send something his way.
All right, Amanda, thank you so much for being with us once again. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.